Amen. So last week, we began just talking about hope. I don't really have a title for this series. I was kind of, these are just kind of, so I was telling you last week that Julie and I, we were talking and I was just sharing some of the things that, you know, the things that, you know, I've personally have been through in my own life and difficulties. And I said last week that the one thing I know for certain that Jesus said was absolutely true is that in this world, you will have trouble. And I have found that to be really true, especially when you live in a world where we still have an enemy. We have an enemy that's pushing back against us. We have a world that doesn't really share our values and share our thoughts about God. And we have our own flesh that's many times against us and fights against us. That in this world, we will have trouble. So I've seen my trouble, like many of you, I've seen trouble in my life. And so my wife asked me this question. She said, well, what helped you during those times? And so I don't know how to make that a title of a sermon series, but this I just wanted to share with you some of my things that I've learned along the way. How many of you know you learn through difficulties? You learn how to walk through difficulties by walking through difficulties. And so, or even better, you can just learn. And so when difficulties come, you know how to handle them, right? And so that's what I'm actually doing this morning is I want us to understand the ways to overcome different. If we're living in a world where there is trouble going to come to you, then we need to be ready and aware. Amen? And so that's kind of that's really long, and I can't put it in a series title. So there you go. That's the title of our series. So we talked about hope being restored. And one of the things that helped me is without hope, without a belief that things can be better, right? That's what hope is, a belief that things will be better. Without that, there is no change. There is no change that's going to come to your life. There's no change that's going to come to my life if there's no hope for things to get better. So when difficulties and troubles come, if I have no hope that things could get better, then there's no need even trying, right? I'm just going to stay where I'm at in my life and difficulties, whether that's addictions, whether that's mine, the way we think, the way we, some actions that we do, some addictions, any kind of thing that would try to come against us. If I don't have hope that things can get better, forget it. Forget it. It's not. We're just going to stay in our rut of our difficulties. So the question was last week, are you in a rut in believing that your life can't get better? That your life won't get better? That healing, whether that's emotional, physical, will never come? And you're just destined to be where you are. Like, even financially, are you going to be broke forever? Right? Anxiety. This anxiety is going to be your story for forever, and you'll never overcome the anxiety that you have, right? These things are, if that's you, the first thing you need is hope. And so we read this scripture. Let me get the scripture. Psalms 42. 42, verse 5. It says, why, my soul, are you so dejected? Why are you in such turmoil? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise him, my Savior and my God. We talked about last week that our hope is found in God. It's not hope in hope. It's not hope in a wish, right? It's hope in the person of God, God himself. We have hope in him, right? So then we talked about last week about the love of God. We talked about how it's the foundational. And I said, as Julie and I talked, I said that really the foundation of it all is that I am loved by God. And that love, I'm loved by the creator of the universe. I'm a dearly loved son of God. And that doesn't change. And that his love has no limits, no qualifications, no restrictions. I am loved regardless of how well I love him back. And I'm loved regardless of how well, I follow his commands, right? I am loved. Just say that. Just say, I am loved by God. Truly, truly. And that love of God pursues you. Isn't that amazing? So, and then the next thing I thought about is the title of my message. So the title of my message is, I am such a dot, 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 dot. That's the title of my message. I am such a, like, fill in the blank, right? So that's your job. So think about that phrase, that I am such a, and so it's amazing how how that will pinpoint your thoughts towards yourself. So in all of that, that idea, so what I'm really going to talk about is who you are in relationship to God this morning. Basically, it is your identity. Your identity, actually, this is going to be 2 weeks because we can't really talk about identity and just focus it all in 1 week. Your identity and who you are is vital. Everybody say vital. To your victorious walk. If you're going to walk in this world and be an overcomer that God's called you to be, you have to know who you are in relationship to Him. To know your identity. Identity is such it has become a phrase in our culture. But let me just say this. If whatever our culture says about identity, your own identity, your identity is found in who you were created to be by God, period. Anything that goes against that is not of God, right? Any thought that is not a thought the way God thinks about you, right, it should be removed from your life. And it's your identity. You were created and made in the image of God, right? So we won't get into all the identity politics, right? That's the catchphrase of the day. But you know, none of that really matters. Really, all of these things that matters is who you are created by God and who God has always intended you to be, right? That's a good place for an amen. Your identity is vital to your freedom. Your identity is vital to believing that God hears you when you pray. Your identity is vital to even understanding that God loves you, that God can use you. Your understanding of your identity will change your belief of your own feeling like you deserve any kind of blessings from God, that you are worthy of being loved. The bottom line is this: unless you understand who you are, you'll never reach the potential that is in you. Now that phrase, so when I wrote that phrase, I went, okay, that needs some qualification. Like your potential, right? So your potential, so that this potential, this idea, here, let me just say it like this. Let me just be plain, get off my notes for a second. Here's the thing. So we talk about this whole prosperity gospel, right? The prosperity gospel. Man, that prosperity gospel is so evil, it's so bad, it's so blah, 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 right? Let me qualify that. Now, if you call the prosperity gospel all of these things that you heap up upon yourself for yourself, then I'm with you. I'm not all about that prosperity gospel. But if you're talking about the fact that God has given you confidence and who you are in relationship to Him. If you are talking about a prosperity gospel that says God has made me for a purpose, for a destiny, I have something to do on this planet for Him. And all of this stuff that would try to come and overtake me and try to hinder me, cause me to be less than, if you're saying, I am fully in rejection of anything that caused me to be less than what God's called me to be. Amen? Yeah. And so we have to be people who know who we are. I'm not talking about living your dreams, right? I'm not talking about becoming rich for your own sake, right? I'm not talking about the world's definition of success. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about having an easy life. I'm not talking about having so much blessing that you do nothing with your life. Understand that we will give an account for our lives at the end of this. When you stand before God, you will give an account for your life. Yep. Now, I do believe in God calling you. I do believe having confidence before God for His purposes and not wavering. I do believe that you're not called to be broke for His kingdom. I do believe in financial blessings because we're called to have an abundance towards every good work. Let me just say, if the only thing If the only thing we're able to have financially is just for us and that we're barely getting along, how are you supposed to be a giver? How are you supposed to be a person to be a person of blessing? God told Abraham, he said, I'm going to bless you to be a blessing for a purpose, right? Right? So even in our own health, even in our own mentality, it's not even all for us. Yeah, God wants us to be sound in our mind. He wants us to be clear. He wants to heal those broken-hearted places in our lives, right? But it's for the benefit of his kingdom, to show forth who God is. Amen? Let me just make a statement of faith at Hope Church. Poverty is a curse. And you really understand poverty is a curse, especially as you go, we were in Honduras. And I remember so vividly one of our first trips to Honduras when Wiley Gammon is our contact. And it changed my thinking forever about poverty. He said, so whenever you went out today, we're talking extreme poverty that we saw with our own eyes, right? When you see that, he said, what does that make you feel? And the first words is sad, pity, right? He said, it should make you mad. Poverty should make you mad. And he said that statement. I was like, whoa, I don't. But think about it. What does poverty do to human psyche? What is poverty? I'm talking about financial poverty. And that's not the only poverty, by the way, right? There's other kinds of poverty. But just even in financial poverty, we don't believe in poverty. Sicknesses and disease is not God's will. Being bound by your past is not God's will. And if it's part of your life, it needs to go. There is better for you. But if we're trapped, listen, if we're trapped in our disappointments and the failures of our past, we'll be plagued by wrong thoughts about who we are. You are made for better. I know people that they're so bound by their past. They're so bound by their failures that they're immobilized. They can't do anything for the kingdom because they feel shame. They feel shame. See, God has freedom. And when you think of freedom, like many times we think of, I'm free from addiction. I'm free from these thoughts. I'm free from these bad habits. I'm free from all those other vices. Do you understand that those things are symptoms of a bigger problem? God wants complete restoration for your inner man and the person who you really are. Then that, when you understand who you are, it changes everything. It changes everything. See, God sees freedom as a holistic freedom. Heart freedom. He came to change and make your heart new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let's go there. So somewhat familiar scripture to some of us. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is passed away, and see, the new has come. See, he's made everything new. Let me say it like this. It says that you are a new creation. I bought this cup this morning. And Kim Langhine over there, wave Kim. Kim actually made this beautiful cup. Isn't that amazing? This is amazing. Do you know what this cup used to be? What did it used to be, Kim? A clump of clay? Dirt? Like nothing? Like just a clump of nothing? Right? But there was a maker, and it made this. Actually, if you go deeper, it made it for a purpose, right? This is not made to be a hammer, right? I can use it for a hammer for about a half a second, and I break it. That would not go well. It's made for a purpose, to hold my delicious coffee, right? Or tea, depending on your... Ugh. See, how many of our tea drinkers? One of my tea drinkers? Awesome. You're so British in this room. British all. Oh, my British people in the house. Oh yeah, there's British people in the house celebrating. There's a king in England. How weird is that? There is a king in England. That is like that wild, wild, wild. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes. Sorry, I said it out loud. So, oh yeah, so a new purpose. A new purpose. Actually, go back and listen to some of the things that Queen Elizabeth said about Jesus. It's really amazing. It's really amazing. But anyway, back to this. So a new creation, it once was one thing. It was what once was a clump of nothing, right? And now it's been created something brand new. Understand, like when it says that you are, put that scripture back up for 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. New creation. That doesn't mean that he took all of your old self and like put like Bondo on it. It's not, he didn't say he took all of your old self and like made it, like fixed all the broken pieces. He says he made something completely new. You were made completely new. You're not just a fixed up version of your old self. You were made completely new and a different kind of human. The complete person that God intended you to be. God made you perfect. When he remade you, he made you. He didn't just fix up your old self. He made you new. Old things have passed away. All things are made new. We just sang it this morning. They're made new. So when we talk about your new life, we're talking about like this new cup that Kim made for me. I'm so grateful. I drink out of this cup every single morning, Kim. And it was made new for a purpose. See, God doesn't. Oh my gosh, we have so many misconceptions. The church, we've done an okay job at presenting what the gospel is, but nowhere near what happened to you at the new birth. When you gave your life to Christ, something amazing happened, that you became new. God, listen, this is we do it a disservice. We do the gospel a disservice when we talk about that God, the only thing that Jesus came to do was forgive you of your sins. That is a disservice to the true gospel. The gospel didn't just come to fix you up. The gospel came to remake you into a new person. The gospel came to not just forgive you of your sins, but to cause you to walk like what we say duplicative things, right? We call when we baptize people that you're raised to walk in newness of life, a new person. You're called to be a new person. He made you righteous. Here you go, 2 Corinthians 5:21. So God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through him, through Christ. So that we could be made right with God through him. The word we use for that is righteousness. Now, this word righteousness is you have to be, as you read your scriptures, you have to understand what different, when they talk about righteousness, there is both right doing and then there's right being, right? Right living is what we're called to do. I don't know if you know, you're called to live righteous. You're called to live life through the lens of the way God sees the right and wrong and truth, right? We're called to live that way. But in that, we have been given a position in Christ, through Christ's work on the cross. You became the righteousness of God in Christ. Not of your own works, right? We'll fast forward. Philippians 3:9. Do I have that one? Did I give that one? Okay, let me just read it. Listen without looking. It says, and being become one with him, I no longer count my own righteousness through obeying the law, right? He's talking about your position. I don't count my right standing with God now as my obedience in the law. Do you hear that? I no longer count all of the things I do right is the thing that's going to cause me to be right with God. That's not what I count as being righteous. My own righteousness through obeying law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with him depends on faith. That word, here we see that word again. That word become. That word that this was used to be a clump of clay. Now it's a cup, right? This thing that we have now become righteous in good standing with God. All right. So let me just use this example. I've used this example before. But there is a house in St. Louis that I can walk right into. I can walk right into that house. I can walk right up to the refrigerator. Random house on a random street on St. Matthew's Drive in Florissant, Missouri. I can walk right into that house, open the door, and I can just be, and nobody has to be home. I can just do it. Walk right in, open the door. I know where the peanut butter is. I know where the honey is, because that's the real way to eat peanut butter and honey. That's the best amen I've got all morning. I can walk right into that house and make myself a sandwich. You got to be careful because the owner has buttermilk, so you don't drink your buttermilk. You drink your regular milk. Made that mistake before. Whew. And sit there and be eating that sandwich. And when she walks in, I'm good. She's actually glad to see me. Right? Now, if you walk in, there's going to be trouble. The police are going to be called. You're going to be taken away. Right? You know why? Because that's my mother-in-law. And she actually likes me. Right, Marianne? You like me still? She actually likes me. You know what? You could say it like this. It's because I have a position with my mother-in-law that you don't have. They'll call and come take you away. They'll welcome me in that house with open arms. You know why? Because I have a good position with my mother-in-law. My relationship with my mother-in-law is really good. It's good. So we have a friendship. We have a relationship. Because of my relationship with her, it causes me to be able to do things that you're not allowed to do. That's called, you could say this, I am in right standing with my mother-in-law. So you have been made, are you ready for this? You have been made in right standing with God. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter. It's all through faith in Christ. That's it. Your faith in Christ has caused you to be a different kind of person that has given you favor with God. That means that whatever is in God's kitchen, you can just walk in. I can walk in freely because I have a good position with God. I can just get some freedom. There's restoration, there's healing, there's provision, because it's God's. See, when I'm in good position with God, I have the righteousness of God in Christ. There are benefits that come with that, and there's empowerment that comes with that. There's confidence that comes with that. I can imagine you walking into my mother-in-law's house all timid, worried, their dogs. Right? Does Marianne have a gun? See, it says this, Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. It says, if by one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive the overflow of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? The way you're going to overcome in this life It's through your understanding of great grace and the great power of your position with God. He says when you understand those things, that you will reign in life. You will overcome the stuff that happens in your life because you understand who you are. Because of the person, not because of what you've done. Like we all mess up, right? But it's through faith. Why is it through faith? Because most of us don't think of that way naturally. Like think about your prayer life, some of our prayer lives. How do you approach God? What example, do you approach God? God, we haven't talked in a long time. I know I'm supposed to read my Bible, and I'm supposed to pray, and I'm supposed to this, I'm supposed to do that, and I'm not supposed to be mad at people, I'm not supposed to flip people off when I'm on the road, I'm not supposed to do this, God, I do this all the time, so God, I just, that's called shame. That's called shame, right? Now, are we supposed to do any of that stuff? Of course not, right? We're supposed to live in a different place. But if your righteousness is dependent on how well you follow all the commands, you don't understand righteousness. You don't understand the gift of righteousness that's been given to you. It is a gift that's been given to you. That you believe that 1 John, I forgot the verse, but it says that when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That we are, he is faithful and just. Do you believe that when you ask forgiveness, he really forgives you? You go, I don't know, I still probably have some penance to do. That's a different thing right there. We don't do penance. Jesus paid that penance fully on the cross for you. Many people don't read their Bibles, don't spend time with God because of the shame. How are you supposed to boldly approach the throne of grace to find help in time of need, if you don't understand who you are, if you don't understand who God made you to be? The Bible says God was in Christ reconciling the world back to himself, bringing that was far away back together. You have been made right with God. See, people, and what's the effects of that? Like, think about in and of yourself, like, if you really believed that you had a good position with God, that you really believed that every time you failed, God, you asked forgiveness and God forgave you. You had a true repentant heart and you put that before God and say, God, I have this thing that's ongoing in my life. God, I just repent. I don't want to be like that. God, I asked you to forgive me and make me right before you. How many of you really believe that God really forgives you in that moment? And that because if you don't, how are you going to move to the next place? Right? God has made this place for you. It is called righteousness to empower you to live the life that he's called you to do. That's why I'll say this. When you understand who you are in Christ, you live differently. You walk differently. You think differently. You talk differently. The people who live in Christ, they understand their right standing with God. They don't allow sin to take them out. I didn't say they don't allow, like they don't have times of sin. They don't allow that sin to take them out. They don't allow thoughts of fear and anxiety to reign. Because they know who they are. They know that they're not just a better human. They're not just, that they have been made new. When you understand your identity, when we say there's an identity crisis in our nation, oh, it's bigger than you think. It's bigger than some of the surface levels you think. It's an identity of who you are in Christ. You're not just a better human than you were. You are a brand new creature made in Christ Jesus. That they are transformed, made in the image of God. They're a son. You're a son and daughter of God in this place by God's incredible grace. You will reign in life. So, the title of my message, I'm such a. And this is where it really starts, where the rubber meets the road, right? It's your thought life. What are you thinking about yourself? How do you think about yourself? Now, when you understand who you are, it's going to change the way you talk. It's going to change the way you speak. You're not going to talk about how I'm such a loser. I'm just terrible. That false humility is nonsense. That sense of I am worthless, I am lowly. Man, you once were, but now you've been changed into a new creation. I'm less than everybody else. So that means when I walk in a room, I'm timid and I don't really, because people, Eric over there, he's a better Christian than I am. He prays more than I am. He says hallelujah a lot more than I do. He says glory. I don't say glory. He's like so much better. He probably knows God better than I. God probably loves him better than me. You look at other people and you compare yourselves to other people. Like if you understand who you are in Christ, all that stops. All that competition and comparing stops. You look at someone like Eric and you go, God, man, that guy knows, dude. Right? There's something about the way, and I'll just brag on Eric. I know Eric. There's something different about Eric. He walks in this confidence. Has he got everything all together and perfect? Absolutely. No, I'm just kidding. But I do know this, he talks different. Or even, what about this? Your identity in Christ will also cause you to do the opposite of that. It will cause you to say, I'm not better than anybody. Because you know what? I don't need to be better than anybody. I don't need to be better than anybody because I know who I am in Him. I know who I am. I know who I know in whom I believe. Like all full of pride and arrogance, that'll go when you understand who you are in Christ. Right? Because watch this, because you know what's great is I can celebrate like Dylan. I don't need him to celebrate me back. I mean, it's great. I appreciate when you do that. But I don't need it. I can fully give my heart to Dylan because I love him as a brother. We talk all the time. And I can appreciate his gifting. Like, this is one of the most boldest guy that I know. Like, literally one of the most bold guy I know. The boldest? Is it boldest? Or bold? Bold. Thank you. Thank you, teacher. The most bold. That's right. It's the most bold. No? Boldest. The most boldest? The boldest. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, English lesson. He's really bold. I got this. I am a professional speaker. You know what they expect of pastors every single Sunday? They expect like TED Talks every single Sunday. You know what's different about pastors and those people who do all those TED Talks? We don't do the same message every single week, week after week, and do the tour of the same message. New every Sunday. That's why you pray. This job humbles you really quick. I need God. But my point is that I don't have to, it's not an exchange thing. I can give him honor and encourage him and build him up. And I can say, God, I want you to go faster, longer, faster, higher, fly higher and more effective than I ever was. And not affect me. And not affect my self-confidence. Because I know who I am. I am comfortable in my own skin. Because of who God made me. Like, and let me just say, that's the way God intended. This cup doesn't have to be anything else. This cup is pretty okay about being a cup. I mean, I haven't asked it. And if I do start asking it, you need to maybe find another pastor. Start talking to my cup. Sometimes I, Am I making sense this morning? It changes how you deal with your flesh. It changes how, like when you know who you are, it changes how you deal with your flesh. I have my little thing, you know, y'all been here long enough, my little finger wag that I do to the devil. Not to me, you don't. It causes you to say no to your flesh. Because when my flesh starts acting in a way that I know that's not me, no. It may happen for a second, but no. We recognize that when our flesh starts acting out, we recognize that's part of my lower nature. That's not who I want to be. That is not, as a matter of fact, that's not who I already am. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That nonsense has no place in my life. When the world starts pushing its whatever on us and thoughts and philosophies and all of its nonsense on us, like, I don't have to wonder, I wonder if that's true or not true. No. I know who I am. I know who I am. I am different. I am not of this world, Scripture says. We've been changed. And then when the devil, remember the world, the flesh, and the devil? When the devil starts approaching you, please. Actually, sometimes I believe the devil overplays his hand. I really do. Because he does a lot better job giving, here you go, devil, whatever. You know when the devil's the best? When he's like, I'm not here. Matter of fact, all that stuff is you. You're thinking. But all of a sudden, the devil starts like pushing his agenda in your life. And all of a sudden you go, whoa, wait. Devil, you just overplayed your hand. Now I know what I'm dealing with. Now I know. Because I know exactly how to deal with you. Shut up and get out in Jesus' name. It's that simple. Shut up and get out. Shut up and get out. Like when you see the enemy, like this will change your home. When you see nonsense going on in your house, like sometimes in our home, I'll just be honest, things will start happening. And like me and Julia start arguing, or the kids will start, well, the kids don't live there anymore. When the kids started living there, we would notice. There was a time, I remember this. Let me just tell this story. I remember this. So Wesley was, he had a time where every single night for a couple of months. I wish Julia was here. She'd tell me. But it was a long time. He would wake up in the middle of the night and like get like sick, like almost to the point of wanting to throw up, but not throw up. But he was like, oh my gosh. And it would happen. It happened night. I wish I would have recognized it the first night. It'd been a lot easier. But it went on and on. And I, poor kid, man, I put so much stuff down his throat to make him better. Week after week, it was so sad. Like he was literally in pain. I can't sleep. I'm about to throw up. I'm going to throw up and I can't throw up. It was a nightmare. And then it dawned on us. I love it when it dawns on you. One day that, oh, this is not just normal. This is demonic. And this is something coming in my home, trying to do something in my home against my kid. And there's something that switches in me anyway. When I start realizing that, oh, no. So you know what we did? We called Jessica Fields. She came over to our house. And so hopefully we didn't give Jessica a ministry. But we know that Jessica understands these principles. And we went through and we anointed our whole home, every room in our house. And we prayed in every room in our house. We bound the devil. We proclaimed the kingdom of God in our home. We declared, like, listen, when you, oh, this is another authority message. But what, like, understand, you have authority over what's been given to you. Do you understand that? Spiritually, you have authority over what's been given to you. Your home, your person. If you're an owner of a business, your business, right? So that's another teaching. Come back and talk to me later. But we understand authority. This is my house. This is something God's given me. And not to my house, you don't, devil. Not to my kids, you don't, devil. And so we went through and prayed over that whole house. You know, but in symbolically, we took oil, we put it over the doorpost of our each room in our home, prayed over every room in our home. And you know, that thing lifted, never came back. Yeah. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. But you know what we had to know? I had to know who I am in Him. See, there's that scripture where it says, Paul I know, and Jesus I know, because there were people trying to cast out devils. And then, you know, and the God, the Jesus that Paul served, you know. But they didn't know who they were. Right? You have to know who you are. So when I say the not to me, you don't devil, it's because we know who I am. And that has to be stirred up in us. Let's all stand together. I have no idea. I'm going to close this. So what I hope I've done this morning is stirred in you a fight. Like in this world, you will have trouble. Jesus said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Overcome the world. I am not suspect. I am not subjected to the nonsense of the world. You have authority. You should know who you are. I know who I am in Christ Jesus. And let me just say, when I start forgetting, I go back to the Word. I go back to the Word, and it reminds me of who I am. We're going to talk a little bit of that. If you would like, we're going to go into a little bit of Ephesians 1 and 2 next week if you want to dive into that. We're going to talk about where you are seated today, who you are. Like this is, let me just say, this is not a charismatic message. This is the message of the Bible. It's the message of Scripture. We are overcomers through what Christ has done in us. Who you are. How are you going to be a witness for Him if you don't know that He is in you and with you and spurring you on and causing you to go? That when you open your mouth, that God will speak through you. If you don't know who you are in relationship to Him, let's bow your heads right where you're at. Hallelujah, God, we love you this morning. We thank you. The abundance of grace. That means you didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve the gift. It was the abundance of grace that transformed your heart. It was the abundance of His grace towards you because of His great love for you. Through His grace. The abundance of grace and the free gift of His righteousness to you. You will reign in life through one, Christ Jesus. You will reign in life in Christ Jesus. So thank you, God. God, I pray your revelation. Actually, Paul says in Ephesians, it really only comes by the revelation of God. It's not based on you. It's a gift. A gift of righteousness given to you this morning. So let me just speak to those who that you feel like that you're a failure over and over and over and over and over and over. That's why it's full of grace to you. That's why it's full of His gift of righteousness to you. And I know one of the biggest things to help me overcome addiction was my understanding that truly every time I would fail and every time I would ask forgiveness, God put me in right standing with Him. When I started understanding that, it actually empowered me to live a life of freedom because I started understanding who I am.
Thank you.
By faith.
This morning.
By faith.
This morning.
Right where you're at, just say, I receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Say, I am righteous in right standing with God, created in Christ for good works. In Jesus' name. That's who I am. I hear this from the Holy Spirit. Right where you're at, just ask the Lord. Are there untrue thoughts that I'm believing about myself? Just ask the Lord. Right where you're at. Are there untrue things that I'm believing about myself? And then ask the Lord this. God, say, God, what do you think about me? God, what do you think about me? Allow the Lord to tell you. You have the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. So God, help us to live out those truths. Now say this, say, I am what God says I am. Nothing less than what God says I am. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Say, God, change my thoughts. Change my thinking. And let me glorify you by walking in your grace and your righteousness. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I mean, this makes, when you start understanding that, it actually, when you hear scriptures like what's that scripture where it talks about that, I am created by God. I am fearfully and wonderfully made by God. I am fearfully and wonderfully made by God. And he adds this caveat to it. And my soul knows it well. And my soul knows it well. My soul knows it well. Does your soul know it well? Let's work on that this week. Amen. Maybe this week you just dive into that this week. Say, God, help me to see who I am in you. And God, when there's things in me that don't look like you, God, help me to rise up in my inner man and allow those things, God, allow you to shed those things off, prune those things off. Those dead things, God, in my life, allow those things to be pruned off. Those things that are kind of growing wild in my life, you allow those things to be pruned off. Amen. Thank you, God. All right, amen. Amen. Did that help you this morning? You empowered this morning? Amen. Amen. Let's say it like we mean it this time. Say, I am what God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. In Jesus' name. Say, I am more than a conqueror in Christ. In Jesus' name. Say, devil, look out. Here I come. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Have an amazing, amazing week.